Is this thing on? Take down that top knot, loosen that tie, close your laptop, and say goodbye to your email for the day. Let's go grab a drink and cheers. This is the Drinks After Work podcast, and I'm your host, Tiffany Callahan.
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the podcast. Today, we have Megan Dunham with us, and Megan is a marketing coach. And if you don't know what that is, don't worry. She will explain it all to you. We talk about the number one question she gets as a marketing coach, which also leads into the number one fear that small businesses have when it comes to marketing. She drops some really cool insights into how to grow your email list. And then we take a deep dive into astrology and how knowing your astrological blueprint and other ancient modalities like Enneagrams and personality traits like that can actually help you with your business. Today's episode blew my mind in more ways than one, so I'm so excited for you guys. Hope you enjoy it.
You are a marketing coach.
Mm-hmm.
What is a marketing coach?
That's such a good question. I was actually talking to somebody about that this morning. So a marketing coach is totally different than what I think a lot of people are used to in this space. I think a lot of times when people start a business, they think I have to hire somebody to do marketing for me because I can't do it, right? I don't have the background. I don't have the skills. But I'm coming in and saying, no, actually you can do it. And I want to empower you so that you feel comfortable, especially for people who just start a business who maybe can't afford to hire somebody to do marketing for them. So that is what a marketing coach is. It's kind of like one part business coach, life coach, one part marketing consultant. But it's something I'm really passionate about and I've seen some really great results. So
I love that. And so where did this idea come from? Have you always been in the marketing field? So kind of take me through, because I read a little bit about it in your website about how one day I think it was like in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. Where you kind of had like an astrological reading, which that's a whole nother thing, which we'll talk about in a second, because I know nothing about that space. So I'm interested in learning more about that. And you know, that kind of spiraled into your yoga journey. And then all of a sudden now you're into, being a small business yourself and helping other small businesses kind of learn the marketing gears. So what was that reading like, or what, how did that kind of transpire and take us on that journey a little bit for people that obviously have not done research like I have?
Yeah. So I'm going to backtrack even more.
Awesome.
I have my master's in education. So I was a teacher for about 6 years before I ever did anything in marketing. And it was something that, you know, when I was working in corporate marketing, I really missed helping people, empowering people, teaching people, to learn new skills and to feel really great about, you know, their own abilities. So I was a teacher for about 6 years. And then in 2017, I transferred into corporate marketing. And I had kind of like a little bit of an existential crisis because I was working for an education software company.
Okay.
So kind of education, but I was doing something completely different. And while I had marketing experience from some like previous jobs, it was just a big shift for me. And so I was like, okay, I need to like wrap my head around this. Like, what am I really meant to do? Is this really something that, you know, I should be doing for the rest of my life? Because being a teacher, obviously, in public schools was not what I wanted to do. It was really hard. So I had an astrology reading. A friend of mine was like, hey, I work with this lady. She's an astrologer. She'll look up your birth chart and then tell you all of these things about yourself and your personality and, you know, what's happening for you right at that exact moment. And I was like, what? Like, this is weird. So I knew that I was an Aries sun, right? Because you always look at, as a kid, you look at the horoscopes and they tell you, oh, you know, you're an Aries, you're a Taurus. So I knew that, but I didn't know anything else. And I had a 90-minute reading with this lady. And it was just like one thing after another just blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, this is supposed to happen. So I was like, it just felt so empowering for me to, not only get that validation from her that this is what I was really supposed to be doing and, you know, what things about myself that I really knew, but needed some more support around, you know, different types of personality works and that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, it really kind of shifted my focus. And I think that one of the big reasons why I really enjoy being a coach is because I almost, in the same way that that person helped me kind of peel back the layers, I do that with people when I'm coaching them as well. Because I think a lot of times when people say, I can't do marketing, I'm too afraid, I can't do email stuff, I can't write, it is not necessarily that they can't do it, but it's like they have some sort of like fear there or limiting belief that keeps them from moving forward. So that's really a lot of what we do too, is I'll talk to somebody for, you know, a whole session about what is really holding you back from actually doing this thing. And, you know, it just, it makes so much sense to me. And it is so exciting to show up to work every day.
I love that, because you're kind of taking, you're looking at it from a fresh lens and coming in and being like, okay, you know better than to say that I can't do this or that I won't do this. What is exactly that like core thing that's causing that barrier from being able to kind of level up in the business, which is awesome.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where, like, I'm a trained yoga teacher as well. So I think that's where my experience with working in yoga, the space and with mindfulness and meditation really supports my coaching process as well. Because I can see both sides of it. I can see the business side, but I can also see the side where people are really personally holding themselves back. So
the type of people that you're targeting too, because they're kind of solo entrepreneurs and they're like these small business owners, they're people that probably very likely took their passion project or what they kind of like to do and decided to make a business out of it. And it's an extension of who they are. Right. And so what the thing that I like about your practice and what you're kind of talking about here is not only do you go in and say, hey, here's like an email template that you can use to start emailing people, but you say, okay, well, why don't you want to email people? Is it because you don't like to communicate with people? Is it because you're scared that you don't have enough people in your database, or what is it? And you're kind of talking to them as a person as opposed to talking to them as a business, which is so cool.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so important. Like you said, most small business owners and solopreneurs, this is their life. This is their baby. This is the thing that they are so passionate about. And the last thing that they need is someone to come in and tell them, well, I'm the expert and I know that you have to do it this way, because I mean, Aries here, I'd be like, no, thank you. I feel like, you know, it is my responsibility as a person who knows a lot about marketing to help people develop strategies that work for them and for their business, not what I think. You know, I mean, of course I'm the expert and I'm going to give them tips and tricks, but at the end of the day, it's their business.
So kind of taking a step back, you are a teacher, or you were a teacher. You still are, kind of, but what was your specialty in teaching?
I guess it's a little random. I was a music teacher.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. How is that like, how have you pivoted from that to marketing, or do you still do music teaching and on the side, or how do you develop music in your marketing approach?
So one of the things that I always noticed, being a musician, is that when you're performing, specifically when you're performing by yourself, it's such an intimate extension of who you are as a person. And in that same way, I think that owning a small business is an intimate extension of who you are as a person. And I really felt so empowered by allowing people to tap into, again, that mindset. You hear so many people say, well, I can't sing, or I can't play an instrument, or I'm not good at music. I'm tone deaf. And that's not true. I mean, scientifically, that is not true. There are only a small portion of people in this world who are actually tone deaf. And everyone else has been told by someone at some point, you're not good at this. And in the same way, I think people feel that way about marketing for their business. And so I really want people to understand that I recognize and I see what type of, you know, work you're doing and how hard you're working and how important this is for you. And in the same way that I encourage my students to live up to their fullest potential and be whatever they wanted to be, I want to do that with people that I work with as well.
I never thought of music that way. I never thought of, like, especially because when you're in a group or like a band or something, I guess you have to kind of work together with other people to make it kind of harmonious or whatever. But when you're a solo artist, no matter what instrument you're playing or whatever, you have to kind of make it sound good on your own. And I love that analogy. I've never actually heard someone compare the work that they do as an entrepreneur, as a marketer, as a business person to being a musician, which is so interesting that you're kind of able to think about things in those two mindsets. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I also think that the arts, specifically music, you know, visual art, dance, really allow us to be creative in ways that perhaps we're not nurtured to do or be as adults. And I want to bring that same creativity and excitement to the people that I work with. I mean, because when you're a business owner, you're your own boss. You can make your own choices. You can live your life the way you want to.
You're sparking a bunch of like brain cells in me right now. And I'm picking up something that I read in your blog was, or not read in your blog, but the way that you referred to marketing, especially the marketing that you do, is mindful marketing. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that. Why did you specifically use that term, mindful? And is it because you're using that kind of extension of, you know, dancing and music and yoga and astrology into, and you're bringing that into marketing?
Yeah. So it's kind of twofold. Obviously it's my approach, right, to marketing, where I bring in all of the things that I have experienced in the past and the way that I really live my life. But I also think that sometimes people hear the term sales and marketing and they think of the car salesman, you know, who will do anything to get you to buy his product. And nobody wants to work with that guy, right? And I often run up against people who feel like when they are promoting their services, that they're being sleazy, that they're being disingenuous, and they don't feel confident or comfortable doing it. And that's where the term mindful marketing comes in, because one of my taglines is marketing doesn't have to be gimmicky to be good. So you don't have to feed into all of the flashy gimmicks that you would, I guess, maybe typically associate with marketing and sales. The most important part of marketing your business, in my personal opinion, is really standing in your authentic truth and speaking your story in a way that reaches and speaks to other people.
I love that. I love that because and that can be true no matter who you're talking to. You know, you could be talking to Joe, the car salesman, who wants to have his own marketing approach that way. Or you could be talking to another yoga teacher, for example, and she wants to become someone completely different, obviously, from the car salesman. So the way that you kind of approach it, you can use that same methodology with both of those people. Mm-hmm. All right. So if I'm a small business owner, take me through your process, I guess, as a marketing coach. What do you do to kind of get to know them? Let's say I just stumbled across your, yeah, I can't speak. I just stumbled across your Instagram. Sounds cool. Sounds interesting. A marketing coach. I think I need one of those. I have a small solo business. What's your approach and how, take me through like what exactly it is that you do and how you kind of approach working with someone.
Yeah. So I typically like to collect information from people before I talk with them, because the most important part for me is making sure that it's a good fit, not only for me selfishly as a business owner, but for them as well. I don't want them to work with me if it's not going to be a beneficial relationship. So of course, you know, once I collect that information and I feel like we're a good fit, then I like to have calls with people. You know, if it's someone local, then of course COVID messed everything up, but I like to meet people for coffee at a coffee shop and just get to know them and know, and understand what are their goals as a business owner? Where are they feeling stuck? Where are they feeling uninspired? And, you know, how can I help them? Like, why did they reach out to me to begin with? Because I think that that not only allows us to decide, you know, what the best course is for us moving forward, but it also gives me some kind of sneaky intel about, you know, what are people thinking about me so that I can craft my own message better and reach more people and support more people the way that they need to be supported. And then, you know, if I decide to work with someone, it's super hands-on. I really, again, like to have those face-to-face interactions. Right now, a lot of it is Zoom calls, which, you know, it is what it is. And then we're just like collaborative partners, right? I told somebody the other day, I'm kind of like your little marketer in your back pocket. So you can reach out to me, you can text me, ask me questions if you're feeling stuck or, you know, upset about something. And, you know, we set goals for our time together. And then I think, again, you know, one of the most important parts of that too is making sure that we celebrate once you actually meet those goals. Because the other thing I come across with business owners is that we often just move from task to task to task, and we don't allow ourselves the time to actually celebrate the accomplishments that we have already achieved. So it's just a really holistic approach to the often dry, you know, experience of building a marketing strategy.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm a huge proponent of celebrating the small wins, and, you know, doing little dance parties for even the most little minuscule things that happen. So I think that's super, super important, because you're right, it's easy to kind of be heads down and working on something, and you have these big lofty goals. And especially as like a small business owner, it's easy to kind of get discouraged when you're chasing this big, crazy goal of yours, and you're not really taking the time to notice you're taking steps in that direction. So having someone that can help remind you to celebrate like those tiny steps is super, super important. Mm-hmm. What's the number one question that you get from small business owners or from some of your clients?
Well, the number one question I get from people is, why won't you just do it for me? I will either get two different types of people, right? I'll get people who I'll explain my services and they're all in and they don't have any questions and they get it and they're so excited. Or I'll get people who are just so resistant and they just want me to literally do everything for them. And that is another question in itself. I mean, there are some people who get to a point where they do truly need someone to do something for them. And that's great. You hire a marketing manager. Excellent. But there are a lot of people who are at the beginning stages of their business who really need to think deep about that question. Why won't you do this for me? And again, ask yourself, why is it that you don't want to do this? Is it really because it just doesn't make you happy? And that's fine. I mean, there are certain things that just don't make people happy, and it's great to identify those types of things. Or again, is it a fear-based question? Right. And I really like to get people thinking about, why are your heels so dug in about not wanting to do this one specific thing, right? So that's definitely the question that I get most often.
What are some of those fears that people, so for someone like me, who I feel like marketing runs through my veins, runs through my blood. And so when I talk to other marketers, I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard for me to put on and step in the shoes of someone who is so resistant to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those fears that you kind of uncover as you talk to people?
It's so funny because I'm thinking about it now, and it really relates back to that whole extension, intimate extension of yourself, is writing. People are so afraid to write content.
Interesting.
A lot of times it's for social media. They get so stuck and they've ghosted their audience for weeks or months because they have no idea what to write in a caption on Instagram, mm-hmm. or what to say to their Facebook group. And what I often cover with people that I work with is that a lot of times they have either been told that they're not a good writer, and maybe that happened when they were really young, maybe from a teacher or, you know, in a college class or something, or they're afraid to actually share what they really believe. They feel like they have to be really inauthentic and say, quote unquote, what my audience wants to hear. But if you are really doing yourself a service, and if you are really truly selling, you know, the product that, again, is an intimate extension of yourself, it shouldn't be difficult for you to communicate your product or service, because the people who want to hear those things will come to you. And the people who don't want to hear those things will not come to you. They'll walk away. And I think there's a little bit of fear there too. Like, oh my gosh, I have to attract everybody. I need all the money, all the clients, all the commissions. And my job is to stop someone and say, okay, but do you really need to work with every single person? You don't. I mean, that's impossible.
True. That's very true. I also feel like people sometimes get caught up because you hear people talk about brand voice. And so they think that they need to have this kind of existential voice that's not who they are. And so do you find that people kind of run into that where they're like, they're not being true to who they are because they're trying to speak in a different language that's not their own?
Yes. Yes. I have one client specifically right now, and we're working pretty heavily on that because she has such a block. She actually has somebody else write her content for her, who's like a friend of hers, who she says knows her really well, so she can write the content, you know. And I'm just like, well, okay, but I don't know, like, okay. But you know yourself well. You are you.
You are you. So why are you not allowing yourself to be who you are?
But it's hard because I feel for her because, you know, it's scary. It's really, really scary for her. And so I feel like as her coach, it's my responsibility to kind of really empower her and help her flip that script so that she can feel more comfortable actually taking on this work herself.
That's so cool too, because you're right. Like, as a coach, I don't know, if you think of like a true coach, like a sports coach, you're not going to be the one sitting there doing the push-ups for them. Obviously you're going to be their cheerleader saying like, yeah, you can do it. You do it a little bit this way, or you're doing it right. But just if you tweak this one little thing, it might work better. I guess the way that you just said that kind of made me think of like, you're more of a cheerleader than you are like an actual coach doing the work for them. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think I have on my website somewhere that I'll be your biggest cheerleader. And I honestly feel like that's my purpose, is to be cheerleaders for other people.
I think that's super important. It goes back to celebrating the small wins and reminding people that you need to take a minute and take a breath, but also remember to celebrate each individual step towards your big lofty dreams and goals. All right, we're gonna shift a little bit. I want to talk about email marketing specifically, because I feel like you are also big on email marketing for people and driving the best way to like craft emails, talk to your customers, get out newsletters, things like that. I have some of your newsletters, and they're awesome, and they're really well written.
Thank you.
So why is email marketing so important, especially for a small business?
Well, if we want to talk statistics, if you do email marketing the right way, it's 4 times more likely that you're going to make a sale than through social media. So who wouldn't want that statistic right in their back pocket? But the other thing is that I think that email marketing really allows people to be a little more intimate. So you have, let's say, a caption limit on social media, and you also really have an intention limit, because when you have an audience on social media, people are just scrolling, pressing the button, and they're being bombarded with information from other sources. So you don't necessarily have such a captive audience on social media. But when you send someone an email and they open up that email, that's the only thing that's on their screen. Mm-hmm. And you have the ability to really craft a well-written story there and to keep someone's attention and to get their attention in a way that potentially you couldn't do on other platforms. And I also think that when email is done, it can be a really powerful tool for helping people build community as well. If people are expecting that you're going to be dropping into their inbox every Thursday, they're going to get excited about it. More people are going to subscribe to your list, you know, especially if you're providing things that are educational and you know, help people grow their business, or, you know, are thoughtful. It's a really powerful tool to build relationships with people. And I also think that I think that people just need to stop being scared of email, because they say, oh, well, you know, I can only, it's too much to email my list every single day. They're going to unsubscribe.
Have you tried it?
Yeah. Okay. And then they unsubscribe. So what?
Yeah.
You have other people that didn't unsubscribe. Right. So you're actually talking to those people more.
Right.
What do you say to someone who's like, well, but I don't have people's emails. Like how would I start emailing people if I don't have people's emails?
Well, there's plenty of ways to collect emails, right? Everybody has a social media account. Everybody has a following, whether or not you have, you know, 50 followers or 50,000 followers. Put something in your stories asking for people to drop their email, you know, maybe do like a little mini training session. And then at the end of that mini training session, say, hey, if you want to learn more about this kind of stuff, sign up for my email list. I'm going to send you, you know, more information, X, Y, Z. And then there's also, you know, a lead capture form, which is something that we do in marketing. But I think that a lot of people that own small businesses don't necessarily know what lead capture forms are or what the purpose of them are. So create a free download, create a free, you know, meditation recording, create a free class that you teach, 30 minute class, and then ask people to give you their email address in exchange for that information. It is an exchange of energy, right? It's an exchange of this for that. You don't just give stuff to people, right? You ask them to give something to you in return.
Hey, and if, and then again, if you send them that thing and then they unsubscribe the next day, at least you know that what you're putting out there is valuable enough to warner someone wanting to take that one step. So you're on the right track at least, and you'll learn something regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you specialize in a certain type of business, or do you just kind of are you open to any type of small business?
Yeah. So I usually work with early to mid-stage businesses. So people who have either just started a business or have maybe been in business for about 5 years. And I typically work with people who are solopreneurs. So they are the only employee in their business. I have worked with businesses who are a little bit larger than that, but I also find that businesses that are a little larger often outsource and have the resources to do so. So I'm really there for like the 95% or what, I don't even know what the statistic is, but it's, you know, the 95% of small businesses who are actually only one person.
Right. Okay. And what about industry? Do you focus on a specific industry, or do you just kind of, what it sounds like is your practices can be approached whether you have a brick and mortar store or you're a fitness coach or you're some other XYZ company that, you know, mm-hmm. I can't think of right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've worked from people from travel consultants to fine artists to grocery stores, like small local grocery stores, jewelry designers. So, I mean, really the sky's the limit. And, you know, all I ask is that people come in it with an open heart and an open mind. Because I do share things, you know, that are important to me spiritually, and I like to make that connection. So of course, if somebody wasn't interested in that, maybe they wouldn't want to work with me.
Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit more. You've been kind of all very connected with your music background and, you know, wanting to connect with people from a teaching perspective, but where did all this astrological passion come from, if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. Like, was it really just that one meeting that you had that kind of blew your mind all over the place? And then did you just dig into it more and more and like learn from it?
Yeah. So I had the reading. My mind was blown 60 times. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I have to learn more. So I started reading all these books and I started listening to podcasts and following other astrologers, and began to discover that astrology, again, is that special intimate connection that you have. So everyone's astrology chart is different. Everyone.
Okay.
It's something that you know, just like your DNA, you are the only person that has that. So it's, you know, such a magical blueprint that allows you to tap into the strengths that you have, the abilities that maybe are hidden that you didn't even know were there. But it also allows you to recognize where maybe your weaknesses are or things that don't necessarily come to you as naturally. And I find that, you know, when you are specifically a small business owner, you can find those areas of strength and really leverage them to help you be more successful. I also feel like when I understood my own personal chart, it really empowered me to be more authentic and to speak, you know, my truth, and not be afraid what other people were going to say to me, because I knew in my heart, in my deepest, deepest of knowings, that this is who I was. And it just made me really excited to be me.
I like that. So do you kind of go into it with it, with helping other people to have that deep understanding of who they are through their astrological charts as well? Or do you just find yourself kind of pinpointing from your knowledge, hey, I'm working with this person and this person exhibits A, B, and C traits, and then therefore I think that they're like also an Aries. And so this is how I'm going to work with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's really more of the latter. I'm definitely not a, you know, astrologer. Or a career astrologer, you know, I'm not gonna pull up your birth chart and say, okay, let's analyze this, unless you want me to, and then we can. But I really, it's often about identifying patterns in people. And sometimes, you know, if I feel like someone's open, I'll ask them if they know what their chart is. And sometimes if they're not open to talking about it, that's fine too. But astrology is really all about predictable patterns. You know, each of the signs has specific patterns that you can kind of recognize as you learn more about them. And that helps me work with those people better, because I understand, well, okay, they're a Libra, so they're going to need this, or they're a Scorpio, so they're probably going to need this. And it just helps me be a better coach, I think.
So what is like the number one difference that you would tell in your approach to someone who's a Capricorn versus someone who's a Leo?
Those are excellent choices.
This is coming from someone who doesn't actually know a lot about astrology. And I'm like, what are some other signs that I can think of?
So Capricorns are very, well, first of all, there are going to be a lot of Capricorns who own their own business because Capricorns are very self-motivated.
Interesting.
So okay. Yeah, so I'm not going to have to be the person who really checks in with the Capricorn every single day because they're going to get it done. So I would know that I would probably want to check in with a Capricorn once a week.
Okay.
And I would know that they would also most likely, I mean, there are so many more influences than just your sun sign, but your sun is really who you are. I would also know that most likely that person would like to dictate the conversations that we were having. So really giving them a lot of flexibility to choose what is best for them, and to set up systems that makes sense for them because they're very independent. They like to do things their own way. They can be a little stubborn. So that's definitely how I would approach working with someone who's Capricorn, someone who's Leo. So Leos are probably also going to be business owners because the Leo is a lion, right? So if you think about he's around the king of jungle, right? The lion. Yeah. Lots of self-confidence, big personality, lots of confidence. So again, I don't know if I would necessarily need to check in on that person. They might feel like I was being a micromanager and I was stepping on their toes a little. They're going to want a lot of autonomy, right? So I can set up a little structure for them and say, okay, these are the goals that we set out. But how do you want to reach those goals? What makes sense to you? And then also with Leos, really encouraging them to think big, because Leos have such a big personality and so much fire, and so much drive. that they're going to be the people who really go for it.
This is already blowing my mind, and I know nothing about astrology. So, okay, the big thing nowadays, and everyone, I feel like it's a new buzz thing, is the Enneagram type. Do you feel like those lend themselves very closely to the way that you kind of approach astrology, or is it two mm-hmm. completely different things? Or
I'm so excited that you brought this up, because there are so many different, I guess maybe what you would call ancient modalities, right? So you think of astrology and you think of Enneagram and you think of, the yoga practices, and you think of acupuncture, and all of those modalities kind of identify personality traits in people. And every single modality that I have investigated or worked with someone to learn more about has confirmed my belief that everything is interconnected. So for instance, I am an Aries, which is a fire sign. And when I started working with an acupuncturist, she told me I had a lot of fire in my body. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And then when I started learning about Ayurveda, which is an ancient sister science of yoga, I learned that I was a pitta, and a pitta is fire. Okay. And so it was just like all of these things, one after another. My Enneagram is a three, and threes are like fiery. So it just made sense, and it made sense, and it made sense, and it made sense. So yes, I think that any modality that you're interested in could definitely kind of coordinates with all of the others, which is really exciting.
It's so cool too, hearing you talk about this. And then so again, through the research I did, one of your favorite books is The Alchemist. And so just tying it back to the whole universe is kind of working together to help drive you towards where you want to be. And the way that you use all these different little components to kind of figure out who each individual person is so, so cool that you're just kind of, I don't know, I like the way that you're tying in your yoga practice to your coaching business, and then adding in this extra layer of, let me get to the bottom of who you actually are, so that we can work together in the right way. Okay. That's kind of the last question that I had. Do you have anything overarching, what do you kind of want people to know about who you are and what you do? And, or is there anything else that you kind of want to add that we haven't touched on yet?
Yeah. I just really want to encourage people to ask for help when they need it. Cause I think that a lot of small business owners feel like they can do it all themselves, especially as women, right? We get really stubborn and we say, I can do this. I can do this. You know, I did it too. For years, I thought to myself, I can do this on my own. I can start my own business. And it wasn't until I started working with other business coaches who I knew were going to be able to help me move in the right direction that I actually exponentially grew my business. So whatever that means for you, you know, whether or not it's investing $10,000 or $100, find somebody that can help you, because you cannot do it alone.
I mean, that's so true of everything in the world. You think that you can conquer everything in a day, and then things are falling left and right because you just didn't remember one thing or remember the other thing. And you always have to lean on the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I did remember one thing that I wanted to ask you. So you went full time with your business. When was it? This time last year?
No. So I actually went full time this year in January.
Oh, nice.
Wow, yes.
Recently.
Yes.
In the middle of a global pandemic, no less. So tell me about that. Why now? Or I guess what happened to want you to pivot to this full time? And how is it being a business owner, a new business owner, mm-hmm. in this weird Zoom world that we're in?
Ugh, it's weird. It's weird. I just miss going to coffee shops and meeting people. So I have been kind of consulting and doing part-time work since 2016. And last year I just said to myself, okay, this is it. Everything else got wiped off of my calendar. I had no excuses. And so I really dug in and started growing and building my business intentionally. And then at the end of last year, I actually lost my grandmother. And thank you. And my grandfather is not very far behind. So there have been a lot of changes in my family. And I recognized that if I could leave and start my business, that I would be more available for my family, specifically my mom. And it was something that I felt really called to do. So I put in my notice 2 weeks before Christmas. Wow. And here I am.
Wow, that's crazy. Oh my gosh. I love the fact that you just decided to dive in headfirst, put family above everything else, which is so, so important. I'm so sorry that you had to deal with such a tragic loss to kind of be able to empower that to happen. Mm-hmm. But in a way, I'm not going to say that I'm glad that it happened at all, because that's not what I mean, but I'm glad that that you got the push that you needed to be able to kind of jump off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for your family, but I'm so happy for you as a person to be able to kind of grow and expand and take this little idea of yours, and you're doing kind of what you tell other people to do and just kind of blossom with it. So it's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so do you want to, I'm going to have how about we play a little game of would you rather?
Okay.
Do you have any last minute things?
No, that sounds great.
All right. These are very, very random questions, and it's just kind of to lighten the mood and have a little fun. Mm-hmm. All right, so would you rather lose the ability to read or to speak?
I think I would rather lose the ability to speak.
Really?
Yes, because if I lost the ability to read, then I think I would lose the ability to learn and also to communicate, right? If I couldn't speak, at least I could write on a board, or I could learn sign language.
True. See, I thought of it from the exact opposite perspective, where I'm like, if I can speak to people, at least I can connect with someone else and someone else can read to me, versus, you know, I wouldn't be able to have that conversation with people. But I love that. I love that we chose different things. Okay. Would you rather, some of these are making me laugh, always be 10 minutes late or always be 20 minutes early?
Ew, hell. I would always rather be 10 minutes late. Always. Because I usually am.
I was just going to say, I usually am because of who I am as a person. So I would take that one too, because I'm already 10 minutes late. Okay. We're going to imagine a scenario where you can talk to animals. What type of animals would you want to talk to? Land animals, animals that fly, or animals that live underwater?
I think animals that fly. Yeah. Because I want to know what it's like to fly.
That'd be cool. I feel like I want to talk to land animals just because I want to talk to my dog.
No, yeah. That was actually the first thing I thought about, was talking to my dog.
Oh, man. Okay. Again, these are making me laugh. So would you rather be forced to dance every time you heard music, or be forced to sing along to any song that you heard? I feel like I do both of these things.
Singing, 100%. Yeah. Definitely singing.
Yeah. I feel like I do both of these things all the time, no matter what. But I think I agree with you that singing, kind of, you can get away with a little bit more, as opposed to, like, I don't know, if you're in an elevator with a bunch of like business people, it'd be hard to just kind of break out into dance. Okay. Speaking of fire signs, would you rather be able to control fire or water?
Oh my gosh. Water. Water is more powerful than fire.
I like that. I think I agree with you, because you can put out the fires with the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Teleport or read minds?
Teleport.
Me too. 100%. Anytime anyone asks the question of like what superpower you would want, that's my number one superpower that I would want, is teleportation, because the ability to just like skip the whole getting there thing is like amazing.
Yeah. Never have to sit in traffic ever again.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I would love that. Be able to snap my fingers and like be in a different destination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to do like two more. Would you rather not be able to use search engines or not be able to use social media?
Not be able to use search engines. 100%. Social media is such a beautiful way to communicate and connect with people. And I would be really sad if I could not have that.
Yeah. So when I first read this question, I thought of, well, if I can't use search engines, like my knowledge becomes non-existent because I Google everything. But you're right, the community aspect of social media is so important, especially now, with connecting with people that you never lived before. It's so, so important. So I totally agree with you. Would you rather live on the beach or in a cabin in the woods?
Oh, man. So hard. Because I love both. If I had to choose, I'd probably choose a cabin in the woods.
I feel like I like the idea of living at the beach, but I think I think I would live at the beach because I just had a really bad flashback to camping in the woods and I don't want that. So,
but I do. Yeah, there's definitely lots of bugs.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to go there for a limited amount of time, but be able to leave too. So I can live at the beach though.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are bugs also at the beach, but whatever.
No, that's true.
All right, last one. This one's a fun one for me because I love traveling. So if you are granted one free round trip international plane ticket every year, ooh, or you're able to fly domestically as many times as you want.
Yeah, I take the international trip 100%, hands down.
I would agree. Because it would be cool to be able to travel domestically all the time, but like the flights, I feel like domestically are so cheap anyway that you can work. Awesome. All right. Well, that was fun. I hope that you got something out of it, and I did too.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to tell everyone or tell them where they can find you or any of that?
Yeah. So I'm very active on Instagram. So that's probably the easiest place to find me. My name is spelled really funny. my dad is Irish and he wanted to give me a name with all the Irish syllables in it.
Love it.
So my Instagram handle is @megan.m.dunham. I'm sure you could probably put that in the show notes for anybody who doesn't know how to spell it.
I will.
And then my website is meganmdunham.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with me.
Yeah, thank you. This is so fun.
Great. Awesome. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Drinks After Work podcast. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on social media @DrinksAfterWork_podcast. And let's cheers again next week.